Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Watchman, this 13th day of April of 2016, and thank you so much for being a part of this show and for all the things that everything else that you do, even just being a part of it, listening to it, as well as you spreading the message, as well as sowing your seed in here and making all of this possible. And I just want to have a word of thanks to all our partners and all those people who make this possible, for the wonderful work that they are doing. Now, I know there are so many people who listen to this and kind of get charged by it, maybe because some of the messages that they hear here are not the typical ones that they would hear in their Sunday services. However, there are those who take an extra step and go ahead and actually partner with us and sow a seed and make it all possible. And now we're doing even something better. We are going up country. We are moving to up country places. We are starting with Mbarara and Bale, where they will be listening to these same messages of the end time, all the ones that we've listened to before. There are quite a number of them, and if you want to listen to all these things about the end time, about the book of Revelation, the false prophet, the Antichrist, and all those subjects, you can go and get those recordings from our website, watchman.co.ug. But also, I would love for you to go and check out our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Ugandan Watchman. If you check that out, I write an article every week. I've written one this week as well, that tells us about some of the things that are happening in our world today. Interesting things. It's not just a Facebook page aimed at reaching out or to tell you about what else the ministry is doing, although we use it for that. I also actually use it to preach a message to people and tell them about the times in which we are living, things like that. So if you go to that, it's easier. Don't go from your Facebook page and try to search for Ugandan Watchman. You might have a problem doing that. Start a new icon and go www.facebook.com/Ugandan Watchman, and then you go straight to our page. Be sure to like it, because when you like it, then we can know, you can be able to be notified every time that we post something new. So I would really love for you to do that. Now, of course, if you're touched by some of the things we speak here and you want to sow into this ministry, they are the two lines that we use for Airtel money and MTN mobile money. And these are the lines. For Airtel money, it's 0755-292-555, 0755-292-555. And for MTN mobile money, it's 0780-292-555, 0780-292-555. Those are the two numbers. I'll speak them again at the end of the program, after I've told you what it is we are going to talk about today. And I'm talking about deception. I'm talking about the kind of deception people should be aware of in the times that we are living, these times of the end. But I'll base it on something I've already been talking about here before, from Colossians chapter 2, which I'm going to read again and remind you just a bit of what we spoke about before here. And then I'll get into what is the subject for today. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you. I'm reading from Colossians chapter 2. I want you to know what a great conflict I have towards you. Conflict there can also mean desire, or a great desire, wanting badly for some people to have something. Paul says, and those who are in Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Now, we spoke about this before, what is in the attaining to the riches of the full understanding. And I told you that everything in the kingdom of God operates on the basis of understanding. And when you understand something, then you attain to the riches of the full assurance of what it is that you understand. I'll give you an example, two examples. I'll start with this. You find somebody who comes, and then they encounter somebody who has demons and who needs the demons to be cast out of them. Then you find people who are going to turn the whole demon casting thing into a melodrama, And there are so many churches which are like that, where they will get the person, tie them on poles, and some of them are tied against their will, and they turn the whole casting out of demons into a total drama, very dramatic and very actually disgusting. And yet actually there are so many thousands of born again people who will go to those places, get tied on walls, because they think that after that there is going to be some kind of freedom and success and what. And it's all just melodrama. That's what it is, dramatic. The thing is that in the New Testament, in the times, in the Acts of the Apostles, and throughout the epistles, those people encountered more demonic societies than we can ever hope to encounter, because they encountered in places like Ephesus, Paul encountered places where there was strong, very strong worship of two gods, Diana and Osiris, and there was very strong, and it seeped into everything, and it worked around sexual orgies, and spirituality was all based on sexuality, and the priestesses of Diana were very beautiful prostitutes who would go and spend all the day doing rituals, and then they would pass on their power through having sex with the people who came to worship. So and people who came to worship came there because they wanted fertility and all those things, so they would get all those, that impartation through sexual intercourse with the prostitutes who were priestesses of Diana. Now that is the sort of a environment that Paul encountered. But where do you ever see him turning the process of casting out a demon into a melodrama? There are instances where Paul cast out demons from people. But did he ever say anything more than one word? Why is it that now people turn it into such a big, big, big issue? Because of the lack of understanding. Now you find somebody, a lady came to me at night prayer and told me that every night a demon would come and sit on her chest and torment her and do certain things to her and all those things. So she told me, I'm sure it's even what is stopping me from getting married and all those things. And so I said, okay, I don't know if it's what is stopping you from getting married, but now in the name of Jesus, it is not going to come back again, and it's done. Now she expected me to say a very powerful prayer. I just said, in the name of Jesus, it's not going to happen again. Now she came back about a month later and said, it has not happened again ever since you said that. Now the thing is this, there is what they call understanding. Now you find people who are think that they, if they tie a face and if they speak loudly and they bark, then the devil is going to go because they are barking. The devil is not moved by anything in the flesh. There is nothing you can do in the flesh that is going to, in the flesh I mean in the physical, that is going to cast out the devil. No, there is nothing. And the fact that even some believers think that is in itself, you know, a testament of great amount of ignorance. The only thing that matters there is the name of Jesus. In the hierarchy of the spirituality, we know that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow down, of those in heaven, those on earth, and of those beneath the earth. Every knee shall bow down. So they understand the authority in that name. The devil understands the authority in the name of Jesus. And Jesus gave you that name to use it. Now, when you understand that, you don't take a minute on the devil. You just say, in the name of Jesus, come out, and you come out and you move on. There is no time for the devil. He is beneath us. He's totally beneath us. He's a non-issue. He's a non-entity. But you see, now when there is no understanding, people make him look very big because of the lack of understanding. So now, when you get to the full assurance of understanding of what authority you have in Christ, you tell that lady, okay, in the name of Jesus, that demon is not going to come back. And then you say, anything else? She looks at you and says, you mean that's it? I say, yes, that's it. We're not going to pray. I say, no, I've told the demon, unless you want me to pray about something else. But I don't pray about demons. I just cast them out. And I don't cast them out in, I don't create a scene. I just cast them out and move on. So then it did not come back. Now, then it comes to issues like, let's say, finance. Okay, somebody goes and hears the message of giving and then goes and understands it. And when they understand it and understand how it works and understand that in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God operates on the basis of sowing and reaping. The kingdom of the world operates on the basis of buying and selling. Everybody buys and sells. Everyone, even a doctor, goes to school and pays money to acquire information. In others, they are buying information. Now, when they get that information and they acquire the certificate and they become a doctor, then they go and sell their information to a hospital in exchange for a salary. That's how the whole system of the world works. Either you're buying in the trading or you're buying in the professions and buying and selling. That's how it works. Now, the kingdom of God operates on a higher principle. That principle involves the same thing as a farmer does. You have one grain of maize. You throw it in the ground, it produces a cob of maize. That's how the kingdom of God works. One grain, throw it in the ground, it dies, it produces one. God has one son, his name is Jesus. He died, puts him in the ground, and he comes out, and then now God has a whole family, which includes you and me. So even God has had to, sow his own son to get a whole family. God had a son, he wanted a family, he sowed his son, and he got a family, which includes you and mine. So that's how that thing works. Now when somebody understands that, and then he goes and sows his seed with understanding, okay? And then he reaps a harvest, and then he's excited because now he understands how to get from point A to point B in the kingdom of God. Then somebody else hears the same message, then does not do it with understanding. He just gambles. Now the kingdom of God does not operate on the basis of trial and error, of gambling, of business mentalities and all that. It doesn't. It has backs on the basis of understanding. So he goes and tries that out, and he's trying it out. Then he tells you that, I tried it and it did not work. It didn't work because you were trying. The kingdom of God does not operate on the basis of trying and error. So that's why the Bible says in some place that in all your getting, get understanding. Wisdom means the principal thing it says, but in all your getting, get understanding. Because when you understand the way something works in the kingdom of God, you can use it to your benefit every time because now you understand. Initially, you go and maybe there is a period when you doing this, of course trying and error is not bad because it's the process by which you get to understanding, but then you get to a level where you understand, then now I know how this works now. So I spoke about that a bit last time. So when you get to that understanding, you have the riches of the full assurance. So it's wealth of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God. When you understand how the mystery of God works, and everything in the kingdom operates by mystery. Everything operates by mystery. You can understand the mystery of why Jesus had to become a man and come on earth and dwell with us, and why it was necessary for him to become a man. Some people ask me, why didn't he just, if God wanted to forgive us, why didn't he just forgive us? Why did he have to send? And you see, they don't understand. And there is a whole mystery behind it. And you have to get to the bottom of it for you to appreciate some of these things. So that's a mystery. Everything is revolved. Marriage, the Bible says, is a mystery. If you understand the way the mystery works, then it helps your marriage. If you don't understand, then you'll get all the knowledge that there is to get from the world, and you'll get the results of the world, which are not so good. But if you understand the way the mystery of marriage works in this kingdom of God, then you'll base on that, and you'll get the results of the kingdom, which are success. The mystery of the God, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Remember, it does not say treasures of silver and gold or treasures of dollars and pounds, as some people say. I hear people in churches saying, I'm calling upon pounds and what? Who is going to give you the pounds? God operates above dollars and pounds, and you know, he's above that. You understand? But he gives you a wisdom and a knowledge that will get you to know how to go and get dollars and pounds whenever you want them. Dollars and pounds and shillings and all that operate on the earth. They are not in heaven. You understand? That's earthly money. And what happens in the kingdom is it's just a reallocation. Now, I might be here and somebody else somewhere has 20 million shillings, which is in his pocket. But by evening, it might be in my pocket. So it is just a reallocation. And what God does is he gives you a wisdom by which you can make that money be reallocated to you, but he does not create it. It's not there. God does not have the authority to make Ugandan shillings. He doesn't have that authority. That authority is vested in the Bank of Uganda. And if God was to create Ugandan shillings, there would be counterfeit, because everything that is not created by Bank of Uganda is counterfeit. And God does not deal in counterfeits. But he can reallocate that money by giving you wisdom and knowledge or something that is unique that is going to make other people come and give you their money. So the money is reallocated to you. Now it says the mystery of wisdom and knowledge. Okay? In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, not of dollars and pounds. Now let's move on. Now he goes on to say, now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Now you see, here is where it comes into place. Because somebody comes and knows something. You know something. You know that this is how it works. You know that if you sow, you reap. You know these things. Then somebody comes and tells you, okay, it's good to sow and reap, and you know it's good and what and all those things, then he tells you that you should also save. I remember I went somewhere and a preacher was teaching about saving, and he was using all sorts of script. By the way, I don't know of any scripture which talks about saving. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I just don't know a scripture. I cannot tie it to any scripture which tells us to save. There's none. I don't think there's ever. I know of any. If it is there, I don't know about it. Anyhow, so he tells us, but what I know the Bible says, it says God gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. And all of us are both eaters and sowers. So one, some money is for seed, which you have to sow. Some money is for bread, which is yours to eat. Okay? Now, when you get a harvest, let's say if you got 10,000 shillings and you felt it was seed, then you sowed it. Then you got 100,000 shillings. Then the 100,000 shillings, you might feel that maybe bread is 80,000. So that is yours to eat. Maybe seed is now 20,000. So, I mean, that's really according to you after you've done the things of tithing and all. So, seed and bread, that's it. That's what I know. I don't know about saving. But anyhow, so somebody comes and gives you a very persuasive argument based on some self-help book, which is read from some rich American New Ager, who tells you about the powers of, say, you know, how many habits of highly successful people, how to do what, you know, all those self-help things, which at one time I was an expert in, and I fed myself on all that knowledge. And what happens is you end up with a lot of knowledge, but nothing to show for it. It does not add any value whatsoever. None. No value whatsoever. You can come up, there are people who teach those things and what, and there is a sense of wisdom towards them. But you see, you can't get the words without the spirit, and the words are of any benefit to you. Because somebody is going to come and tell you, let's say somebody who is very rich, an American very rich guy, who is going to tell you how he became rich. You do the same things and you not get the same results, because he has taken the spirit out of it. And what is the spirit? The spirit is the things he does behind the scenes which you don't know about. And he's not going to tell you that. And you think that some of these rich Indians here who own banks are going to tell you how to get rich. Are you crazy? Do you think they really want you to be rich? And then people, I mean, there are certain things which Ugandans do, and you just wonder, I mean, do you really believe in what you're doing, or are you just doing it because it's a fad and it's something that sounds right and what? But you see, somebody has deceived you with persuasive words, and yet you actually knew something that is higher than that. Now I'm telling you how the devil does this. Now let's read on, because there's something I want to show you here. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. That is verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 2. As you therefore have received Christ means the anointed one, the anointed one. Okay, so you've received the anointing of the anointed one, Jesus the Lord. So walk in him. And he says, rooted, built up in him, that is, your roots are in him, the very basis of your faith is in him, you're built up in him, even your stem is in him, and established in the faith. That's the only way you're going to produce fruit, which is in accordance to what is in your roots and what is in your stem. You cannot have the roots of a mango tree and a stem of a mango tree, and then hanging on it are pineapples. That is not going to happen. So for you to have the fruit of Christ, which includes everything that you need, you have to have the roots and the stem, and then you give birth to the fruit. Abounding in him with thanksgiving. Then he says in verse 8, now this is where it's going to be the best of my teaching today, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. Another translation says, lest anyone plunder you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, this is what I'm telling you, where you go and get all these basic principles of the world, habits of successful people. They do this, they do that, they save, they do what, they do all these things, and so on. Now, the people who are telling you those things and who are preaching those things have not actually benefited from them. They have not benefited from. Now, when I start telling you about sowing, and I know I have benefited from sowing and reaping. I know I'm not telling you what somebody else has told me. They told me that at the beginning. I read it in the Bible at the beginning, but I believed it. It produced fruit. And now when I teach it, I know what I'm talking about. Now, until somebody has become a millionaire, a billionaire, using those principles, I'm not ready to listen to them. And even if they have, I have to understand that they are giving me the spirit and not just the word, not just the form, but the substance of it. And now, if you qualify them by that, then there is nobody who qualifies. That's the honest truth. So here is the word. Now, this word comes with the spirit. The word of God comes with the same spirit that wrote the word, that was behind the writing of the word. That is the spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Now it says, "Lest anyone plunder you through philosophy." Now, how does this work? You know, when you know the devil, when people think about the devil and his deceit, they think about demons which they can cast out. And unfortunately, the church is so infatuated with the demons and the casting out of demons and things like that, that they don't understand the level at which the devil operates. Now, when Jesus says in Romans, or rather in John chapter 8 and verse 44, that the devil is a liar from the beginning and the father of all lies, what he means is that the devil is the manufacturer of all lies. He's the father, is the manufacturer of all lies. Now, there are so many different layers of lies. If you are in a taxi somewhere in Kawempe or in town, and somebody calls you, and because you are trying to dodge them, you say you are in Masindi, then that's a lie. But that's at the lowest level of lies, you know, the lowest level. The devil does not necessarily deal in lies. That he's not a retailer of lies. He's a manufacturer of lies. So now, how does he do that? He manufactures lies for everybody to suit where they are and to take them away from the truth of God. For instance, he will appear to a man called Muhammad in the 6th century and tell him that God cannot have a son, because God is neither produced, neither does he produce. He's neither begotten, neither does he beget. And if he has a son, where is his wife? So then Muhammad gets that, believes it, converts so many people, and just by that one lie manufactured by the devil, billions are going to go to hell. One lie, billions. That's the level at which the devil operates. He manufactures lies. Then he says, okay, now that lie has sorted so many people. Now, then he comes to a few other people, let's say like Christians. And then he says, now these ones believe in Jesus. I cannot tell them about how God cannot have a son. They will not believe me. So what does he tell them? So he comes to some and he tells them, you know, the mark of the beast is praying on Sunday. If you pray on Saturday and you don't eat pork and you don't take coffee and what, then you're going to heaven. And then somebody believes that lie, and then they are deceived. And they are so confident that they are right, and they are so confident that people are going to go be cast in hell because they pray on Sunday, and they base it on some kind of conspiracy in which the Catholic Church is the one who changed the worship to Sunday, and that is true, and all the things they say are true, all the things about praying to, all the things that were corrupted by the Catholic Church, all that is true, but the truth of Jesus Christ is set in the Bible. When you go back to the truth of Jesus Christ, now when a religion is set up to counter a deception of another religion, then it ends up also in a deception of its own. Okay? Because the Catholics came up with their own deception of praying to saints and what, and the rosaries, and even the whatever. Then you lose out on the main thing because you've gotten, you know, a very small thing. Now, if you read on in Colossians chapter 2, you read on, he says that, so let no one judge you in food. Now he's talking about all this. Colossians chapter 2 talks about all the sorts of lies that the devil does. So he says, let no one judge you in food or in drink. Okay, you eat pork, that's okay. You drink coffee or whatever it is those people don't want to drink, that's okay. Or regarding a festival or a new moon. So you celebrate Easter, you don't celebrate it, it's okay, that is all rubbish. You celebrate Christmas, which was a day of worship of the pagan god, but which was turned into the day of the birth of Jesus Christ. If you celebrate it, it is okay. If you use it for you are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, it's okay. Where it originated from is not an issue, okay? You celebrate Easter, then he says, or Sabbath. Sabbath, and he's saying Sabbath, this is now, and I've told all these Seventh Day people that you don't have the interpretation of the Old and New Testament. God got a Pharisee who knew the Old Testament so well, and he got
selected him specifically, called Paul, so that he may come and teach people the difference between the new Old and the New Testament. And Paul is the one who wrote all these epistles. He knew the Old Testament more than you can ever know it. He was a Pharisee, and he says, concerning the law, I was perfect. He knew all the law, all of it. He says that himself in Philippians. But he says, don't let anybody judge you concerning Sabbath. Why? Which these are all a shadow of things that are to come. The substance is Christ. So if you pray on Saturday, no problem. I don't even pray on Sunday. Okay? Me, I pray on Tuesday. Tuesday is my Sunday. So now if you pray on, you make a day so important. And yet Jesus came. You think Jesus came and was nailed to the cross so that people can pray on Saturday? Are you kidding me? How deceived can somebody be? But you see, they are so convinced that they are right. But you see, the devil manufactured a lie for them at that level. Then he says, okay, now those ones are sorted. Then now he comes to these ones who are born again. And then he says, now what do I lie these ones? Because everybody has to have... Remember, he has to lie everybody at his own level. Okay? The Muslims, he lies them at their own level. Then he comes here, then he goes to the Buddhists, he also tells them they are reincarnation, what? So behavior, treat ants and insects and what? You know, those people, they cannot even kill an insect. Because that might be your relative who died so many years ago and he came back as an insect. And if you kill him, you'll also go and come back as an insect. And they believe that. And they are, you know. And you see, people don't understand that the devil's lies are not meant to these things which people say, I'm chasing away the demon of poverty. Go, demon of poverty. It is not going to go. You chase it for 20 years and you see if you'll get out of poverty. Because the lie that the devil comes and tells you is intended to change the software of your mind. And if you have a software of poverty, you cannot live in prosperity. It's like using Microsoft or Windows on an Apple machine. It will not work because your software is for poverty. The only thing you can give birth to is poverty. And now 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. What you believe is the basis of what victory or otherwise you will have in the world. So if the devil can get you to believe something that is not true, then that you believe that lie and it becomes truth for you, then it will set your life and your software has been changed, and therefore you can only produce according to what that you've believed, that lie that you've believed. So if he has deceived you, and I've been through all of this, then you come to some people and says, okay, these ones, I cannot, they have received Jesus Christ, they know him, they know he died for them, they have received, so they are going to heaven. And maybe I may not be able to change the fact that they are going to heaven. But I can make them become losers here on earth. So he designs a specific lie for you now, for you are born again and maybe going to heaven. But he says, okay, let me come up with a lie which is best for these people. So he says, what kind of lie am I going to come up with? So he says, you have curses. Curses, you're cursed, you have curses. So then you find so many born again people in churches trying to break curses. Oh, you are curses of your father, curses of your grandfather, curses of what? And it is just not true. It is a lie. Christ became a curse for us so that we might have the blessings of Abraham in Christ Jesus. Now, if you believe that you're cursed, then the blessings of Abraham will be a story, will not be a reality in your life. There will be a story which you will only talk about because the software of your mind is of curses. Now, the devil has altered the software of your mind, and now you're there, you're stuck there in curses. And now we've been through all these things. Don't think that we haven't been. We have been through all these things. All these doctrines have been through them. Now you're cursed. Now there's this. Now the other day, every time something else comes up. Now for most people, when he realizes that, okay, now this one can no longer believe curses, he's a bit more enlightened than that, then you come up with something else. You come up with condemnation. Okay, so he starts condemning you for every small thing you do, because if he can condemn you, then you start feeling unworthy. And if you start feeling unworthy, then your faith will not be to receive the best things in this world. Now, I let me tell you, without ever knowing about it, I found myself believing that every rich person is either devil worship or something like that. And I don't even know how I got it. How did I get there? The devil slowly had shifted my software, and I didn't know about it. That was some time ago. I didn't know about it. Slowly shifts my software. Now, there was a time I was actually somewhere. Actually, I was watching the World Cup in South Africa,
And there was this man who came, a rich Ugandan man, a very rich Ugandan man, whom I knew about because I used to see cars, you know, with these personalized number plates and what. So I didn't know him. I didn't know how he looked like, but I knew the name. So they told me that he's so-and-so. So I remember that time, the first thing that crossed my mind, that must be one of those devil worshippers. Then I found out the man is actually born again and goes to a church somewhere on Entebbe Road. But I had judged him for being a devil worshipper just because he's rich. Now you see how the devil, now once you have that form of thinking and that software in you, you can never prosper, never, because your software is of poverty. So because you've the devil has somehow shifted you to think, you know, righteousness equals poverty and wealth equals wickedness. Somehow, you might not confess it out loud, but if you were to carefully examine your heart and be honest with yourself, you would think every time you see somebody driving powerful cars, or if you see a pastor. Now, let me tell you how it works. If you ever see a pastor driving a very powerful car and things like that, and immediately, without even ever knowing anything about him, the first thought that comes to you is that he must be either a mofere or something like that, then you have software for poverty. That's what you have. That's what your problem is. Now, you might talk about prosperity until you run out of saliva, if that were possible. But you will not see it, because the software in you is a poverty, and you've believed a lie. The devil manufactured a lie for you at your level, where you believe it. Now you've seen all this talk about Illuminati. Now, and people don't understand how the devil works. Everything in the kingdom of the devil now, lies that are spaced, meant for children of God, don't come directly. They come in a subtle way, because he knows there are certain things you will not believe. If he tells you Jesus is not a son of God, you tell him, get lost. If he tells you that your righteousness is according to what day you pray on, you tell him, get lost. You know better than that. But if he tells you there are curses, maybe you're past that. You also know better than that. You tell him, get lost. So he comes and tells you, no. You see all these men of God who are rich, they are Illuminati. Illuminati. So you start believing Illuminati, and then without knowing it, people attach every success to Illuminati and every failure to God. And eventually, God looks like a loser and the devil looks like a winner. And he has changed people's mindsets slowly. And it is very subtle. You remember the story about how to boil a frog and how you don't throw it in hot water, it will jump out immediately. But what you do is you put it in cold water and then it starts swimming. Then you turn on the fire and the water becomes warmer, first lukewarm, and the frog is still enjoying. Then warmer. By the time it realizes that the water is hot, boiling hot, it's already cooked. Now, that is how the devil does. It comes slowly. So before you know it, I've had some believers. They see something, every success. That one is Illuminati. This one is, no, that is Illuminati. This one is what? No, that has got to be Illuminati. How can you have all that money? Now, that has got to be Illuminati. Now, so which means God has no success stories. God only has failure stories. The only person who has success stories is the devil. How did the devil ever get people to believe that? He manufactured a lie for them. And that lie sorted them at that level. Now, let me tell you another big lie that the devil has manufactured that most of the children of God have believed. The devil has manufactured a lie which makes people believe that he is an adversary of God at the same level. And because our minds are tuned to having adversaries who are of that level, there is NRM, there is FDC, there is Museveni, there is Vesige, there is Cristiano Ronaldo, there is Messi. There is Manu, there is Arsenal, you understand, there is Real Madrid, there is Barcelona. So now you think there is God, there is the devil. And so somehow you know, you're almost thinking of the devil as an enemy, an adversary at the level of God. So every success, and I know I know these things seeped into my head without ever knowing, and I required a lot of meditation to get them out of me. So you glorify the devil, you know the devil is doing this, the devil is doing this, and you know like, you can't make room for success without allowing any space for failure, because the devil has to strike back. So when you are leading 3-0 and things are good, you somehow are making room for, you know, for the devil to strike back. In the same way, like let's say if Madrid is playing Barcelona and Barcelona is leading 2-0, they have to defend because somehow Madrid might strike back. So somehow the devil is, you know, almost at par with God. The adversary is fighting at par. And the thing is this, there are billions of angels. Okay, everyone on earth has an angel, and there are so many others in extra, all the galaxies and what. The devil was just one of them, okay? He is just a car angel. The only power he has is the power to deceive. There is no power whatsoever he has. If you read in Matthew
chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus says, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus said, all power, all power, all power. Where is the devil's power? If Jesus said all power, so either Jesus is lying or the devil has no power. Now, but he has the right to come and deceive the same way he did with Eve. Okay, and there's every human being here. So now he'll come and deceive you, and by believing that he's so powerful, you actually give him power over your own life. Through a lie, not through that he had power, but you are the one who has surrendered your power to him through believing his lies. So now people think, now when in the end time, when at the end of the grace era, the Bible says God will send an angel to come and bind Lucifer. God does not even, he does not move from his seat for Lucifer. He sends an angel just like Lucifer. And the angel comes and binds him and throws him in a bottomless pit. He's a helpless guy. He's not an adversary of God at the same level. He's just an angel. So every time I even see somebody, fearing witchcraft, somebody came to me the other day. And it was like, somebody came and threw witchcraft outside my house. And, there was this, then there was that. And, I woke up and I found something. And the girl is so scared, is extremely scared. And I'm looking at her and saying, okay, are you born again? She said, yes. When did you get born again? In 2012. I don't blame her because of the places that people go to church and all that. But you should know that there is nothing which, if the devil could do anything to you, he would have done it long time ago. In the book of Luke chapter 5, the guy was full of demons, the guy who had a legion. Jesus comes to the man, and the man is totally demon possessed. He's tearing things, breaking chains. He cannot be bound and what, but the man comes running to Jesus. So if the devil cannot stop you from going to Jesus, he has no power. I want you to understand that if he had power, he would have stopped that demon man who he had total control over. He would have stopped him from coming to Jesus. But he cannot stop him. He has no power. He has nothing. So the point, I looked at her and said, okay, can you just believe that greater is he that is in you than the devil that is in the world? Can you just believe that? So now when I see somebody who practices witchcraft, I see somebody who worships a car angel, a small insignificant angel. And me, I have the Holy Spirit, God himself. Who created everything, including the devil. I have him inside me. How can you make me fear witchcraft? How can you make me fear the devil? Now, let me tell you, there have been manifestations for me. I've seen, there have been rich men who have tried to do witchcraft on me. And it does not even stop me from going to bed. There was a time I came from the bathroom and walked into my room, and there was a demon seated on my bed. And I just told him, get lost, I want to sleep. And I slept. I know he can do nothing. There is nothing he can do. I have Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit in me. The devil, he can only try to scare you. And the minute actually he realizes this guy can no longer be scared by me, he starts getting scared of you. Amen? But if he can come and deceive you, and those cowards, the guys, the bullies in school, who the guy comes and threatens you, then if you fear him, then the guy has control over you. But if you come up against him, the guy will take off. That's how the devil is. Now, the point is, now, one of the biggest lies the devil has successfully seeped into the children of God is the lie that he's an adversary of God at the same level, or at least at just a slightly, lesser level. Now, once you believe that it becomes true for you, then you spend all your life fighting devils. Then one day you realize that the devil is a non-entity this side of believing Jesus Christ. He's a total non-entity. When you are making room for your plans and what, don't make any room for the devil. He has no say in it whatsoever. When you're leading 5-0, you just look for the 6th goal and 7th and 8th. There is not going to be any goal against you unless you allow it by believing the devil's lies. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, do you know that is what has accounted for so much of the defeatism in the church today? Because people are always, yesterday I got, now I'm prospering, I got a good job. But you see, now the devil is going to come. And now you see, now somebody has been believing God for a job, then they get the job. Then they are saying, but what if the devil comes? Now what if somebody has bought a good car and he has wanted that car, then he buys the car and he's happy. They say, but you see, the devil might come and make me get an accident. So in all your plans, you're making room for the devil. And why? He is a non-entity. If he had any power, you would be dead. He doesn't even want you alive. If he could kill you, he would have killed you. I know that for sure. If there is any way he would kill me, I would be dead. But he does not have that power. Okay? Now, therefore, So you see how all these things seep. Now, the other day when we went, last year when I went to, around about this time by the way, when I went to Serena and told them that we wanted to have a conference of the Watchman conference there, a conference of believers, and, you know, they told me that, they told me the price, they told me their starting price was, you know, so they told me that this is what's going to cost you. But then they told me that, are you going to charge people to come? I said, no, I'm not going to charge people to come. And it's born again people? I said, yes, born again people. They said, but you man, you're going to bring people in sleepers and, you know, it's with dust on their ward. Then women who are breastfeeding their, you know, their children there in the Serena. And man, and you're going to sit them in those seats where ministers sit and what. And the man was saying, are you sure you're not going to bring for us those kind of people here? Because you're going to go in those churches and announce that there is a free, whatever here, there is a free conference here at Serena. Then you're going to bring people who are just going to dirty our carpets and all that. I told them, no, that's not the sort of people we believe in. I mean, we deal with and all that. Then until that time, officially, Barokore were not allowed at Serena. It was official. Until that moment. But actually, because the gentleman knew me, we assured them that no, that's not the sort of people we believe. But you know, when I finished talking to him, I sat down and said, how did it ever get to this, that people believe Barokore are such losers? You know, guys who are going to come in torn shirts and what, looking haggard and weather beaten, and you know, and those are the kind of, now you guys say, those are the people you are going to bring for us here, what? So I had to convince him that no, there are so many people who are, you know, successful, who are born again. And the man did not believe it. But then I wondered, how did this image ever get into that? But you see, the devil comes and seeps it into people slowly, a lie, and tells them, no, Barokore are losers. If you want to be those guys who are broke all the time, weather beaten, you know, all those things, and, you know, walking, looking very hungry, as if, you know, they are going to collapse the next step, yeah, then you get born again. However, if you want to be successful and what, don't be born again. And with that small lie, he deceives so many people. And then eventually even the Barokore start believing it. And then the next time you see somebody who comes. I remember one time I went to some church where I used to pray from and what. And the guy told me that, man, you know, these days I see you're well off and what. So I was wondering, are you still born again? I looked at him and said, excuse me. So now, when they see somebody, okay, I left the church and moved on. But the man is using what you look like to judge if you're still born again. Can you believe that? How did he believe that? How did he ever get the devil manufactured a lie for him at that level, at his level? So now that might not stop him from going to heaven. It will, of course, it will not stop him from going to heaven, but he will be a loser because he has a software of poverty. Now, if you want to experience the goodness of God, go and examine all your things. Do you believe that? Just know that everybody, even Jesus, the devil had to manufacture the lie for Jesus. Okay? So everyone, don't think that you are above a level where the devil will manufacture a lie for you. If he came for Jesus, he will come for you. So what does he come and tell? What does he come and tell Jesus? Now, if you know, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Now, I believe that Jesus, if he wanted, could have turned the stones into bread. But why didn't he? And why was it a temptation for him? Because the devil is trying to attach Jesus' identity to what he does. If you are a son of God, why did you do this? If you are born again, why did you tell the lie the other day? Why did you lie the other guy the other day that you are in Masindi, yet you are in what? You are in Boyogere. If you are born again, why did you do this? If you are born again, why did you do this? Now, that's a lie, because he's trying to attach who you are to what you do. But you did not get born again by stopping lying. You got born again by believing in Jesus Christ. And you are born again as long as you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Okay? But you see, now he's trying to attach tie Jesus' identity to what Jesus does. Now, that is a lie at a very high level. Of course, he will not come and tell Jesus these small lies. He will come and tell him a lie at a higher level. And so many people have fallen for that lie of believing they are who they are on the basis of what they do. Okay? That they are what they do. No. In the New Testament, we are what we believe. We are not what we do. we are what we believe. And actually, if we really believe it, it ultimately produces success. So you'll come and tell you, if you are blessed, how come you're broke? Now, you have to overcome that lie and say, I am blessed because the word of God says I am blessed. It has nothing to do with my wallet. My wallet is not more important than the word of God. My bank account isn't more important than the word of God. So if the word of God says I am blessed, then that's what I am. Now, when you overcome that lie and don't attach your blessings to your bank account, you don't attach your health to what your body feels, if you come and say, okay, you say you're healed, how come you still have these symptoms? Then you say, no, I am healed because the word of God says I am healed. And the word of God is always true. Let the whole world be a liar, including my body, but the word of God is true. Then you've overcome that lie, then you will see the success thereof. Then at that level, then he moves from there and tells him, now, if you're a son of God, why does Jesus say that man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes out of? Now, that's the thing. The first lie is to get you to observe your experiences against the word of God, rather than observe the word of God and make sure that your experiences line up with the word of God. Okay? So if the word of God says you're blessed and your experiences says you're broke, then don't believe your experiences. Believe the word of God, and thereby your experience will ultimately line up with the word of God. Jesus says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. In other words, once it comes out of the word of God, it is truth, because God is true. Everything he says is truth. So if it has come out of if it's written in his word, then it is truth. Now, if that is not true in your scenario, then believe that word and make it a part of you, and then eventually it will be true. So if Jesus said that, behold, I've given you power over, trump over all serpents and scorpions and over every power of the enemy, and it shall by no means hurt you. So if you're being hurt by devils at night, they are coming, having sex with you, trampling on you, and what? It is because you've not believed what Jesus said. If you believed it, that you have power to trample, then you'd not come and behave as if, you know, you're defeated. Now the devil is what? Now even the other day, I'm tired of this. The Bible says you have power to trample over all of them. Now why don't you use that? But why don't you start by believing that word? Okay? Now, you see, the problem is people want things which are easy, because it takes energy to believe, you know. You have to fight the good fight of faith. You have to close out every rubbish that you've had. I remember when I found out that time when I found this guy and I thought he was an evil person just because he was rich, I realized there's something terribly wrong with me. I realized I had the software of poverty. So what did I do? I went and started trying to change my software. I tried to change my software. How? I started writing down the best things in this world. I deserve them. I deserve the best things in this world. I deserve to be rich. I deserve to live a very good world life, because I am the son of God, and because Jesus Christ died for me to have those things. Now, to the point where I believe every person who is not born again, who is rich, is only rich because born again people are deceived. If we went and claimed our wealth, not by going and getting it from them, but if we claimed our wealth by changing the software of our spirits, all that wealth would come from them to us. Immediately, by just changing the software and believing it, that you deserve the best things. I deserve the best. So I go somewhere, what is the best thing? I deserve the best. Now, when you get that into you, but when you go to buy a shirt and you decide the other ones, that place is too expensive for me, I'll go down here to Owino. Then you see, in your mindset, you're downgrading yourself. So you've decided Owino is your level and Owino will be your level. Okay? But if you start by changing it, your mindset slowly, start by believing, get a scripture, like that. I deserve the best things. I deserve the best things. Jesus Christ died for me to have these things. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. I don't have any curse. I am blessed. I'm 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 blessed. Until it becomes your software. You will see how it works for you. Now, of course, the devil manufactures lies at a level where he wants to change the software. Now, that's why it's... And how does he manufacture those lies? Let me read one more scripture here, which all of you know about. 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
And what does it say? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds. Now, what are strongholds? Now, people think strongholds are going to, all the demons of poverty that are over this place, we pull you down. And that is a lot of carnality. I mean, it is so ignorant. That is not what the Bible is talking about here. The stronghold is in your mind. Now, like I told you that time, I had a stronghold or a software of poverty. It's a stronghold. Now, when somebody has a stronghold of lust, every woman he sees, he just wants to go and reach out for her and tell her something, because his mind, there is a stronghold of lust. Now, that is not something he's going to cast out. Okay, he might, but that is something he has to go and remove what has been in his mind and renew his mind until the stronghold of lust has been broken. Now, when a stronghold has been planted in somebody's mind, it governs every thought that comes out of them. Automatically governs every thought that comes out of them. Every thought, it's like when you put on blue shades or sunglasses. The trees are blue, the cars are blue, everything is blue because the lens through which you're looking is blue. Okay? Now, if you change them and put on a green pair of sunglasses, then everything is green. Now, strongholds are those things which you put on, and now everything you see. Now, when somebody has a stronghold of poverty, everything he sees is lack. When he sees something is lack, when he thinks that God is telling him to do something, he says, but I don't have the money. When he thinks that he should get a better house, I don't have the money. Everything, I don't have the money, because he's putting on sunglasses of lack, of poverty. Now, when he takes off that sunglasses and puts on clearer ones, or plain ones, he looks clearly and says, but God cannot tell me to do something unless he has given me the provision. So if God tells me, then his word is the provision. Then I move and God is going to provide, because he told me, knowing very well that I don't have the money, so he must know that the money is somewhere. So you take off that lens of lack and put on a different lens. So I'll tell you here. Now, how do you do that? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. Now, you know, people don't understand that the devil overthrows people through arguments. So you're trying to believe God for healing. Then he says, okay, let's say you're sick of something. Then you're trying to believe God for healing. Then he comes in an argument. But yeah, if people get healed, then how come so-and-so died? How come so? Then he gets you into an argument. Then he defeats you through argument, like the way he did to Eve. Now, the way to overcome him is just mention the word of God. How come the other person died? By his stripes I was healed. How come so and so died? By his stripes I was healed. How come by his stripes I was healed? By his stripes I was healed. Until the guy realizes this man is not going to change. This man is determined to believe God. And then eventually you get your healing. But if you get into the argument, you say, how come the other guy was believing God and he died? Then you say, then you start saying, okay, I know he died. Okay, I know he died, but for me, I believe God and what? So you start arguing with him. Then you've got enough. Just stick to the word of God. He says something, say the contrary. I mean, say something, you say the word of God. Say something stubborn. He tries to get you into an argument, say something different. Pucker until he eventually, gives up on you and realizes this God. So it says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So you cast down arguments and every high thing, or every other knowledge that comes, that pretends to be superior to the knowledge of God. You know, science has proven this. You cast that down. Science, rubbish. Science, rubbish. Science, rubbish. Science, the word of God. Science has said this, the word of God says this. Science has said the word of God says this. So you cast down every high thing, and that putting down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that wants to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And it says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, that's what it says. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So it starts with the thoughts. Okay, every thought. So the next time you start thinking, I don't have money, then you say, but God is my provider and God is not broke. Then the next time, God is my provider. I remember the time when I used to meditate on the scripture, when I was heavily indebted and I had no money, and I would meditate on the scripture
he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not, along with him, freely give us all things? Then I started thinking, if God could actually send Jesus Christ to come and die for me, how can he not give me money? Then I imagined, what was God thinking when Jesus, they were spitting in Jesus' face and kicking him and humiliating him and mocking him? You imagine, God, the creator of heaven and earth, who is can just wipe those people away in a moment. But he's there and he has to close his eyes. Okay, no, I don't mean that symbolically. But he has to just keep quiet when they are doing all that mockery to Jesus because of me. Now, if he could go through that, because how can he not give me money? After letting his son go through that humiliation for my sake, how can he not give me money? So I realized that there is nothing that is more powerful than God's son. And if God could surrender his son, then he can give me anything I want. Then slowly I changed my software. That is how you change the software of your mind. That's how you do spiritual warfare, by changing the substance of faith on which your mindset is. Now, that's how the devil manufactures lies, and that's how he deceives people. Everyone a lie at their own level. So now you look at people. Now, those who have gone very far ahead, who are very spiritual, you will come and give them a lie of their own. I've known men of God who are very powerful, and you know, very, very powerful men of God. And the devil comes and twitches like a small thing, and the guy, if he believes it, the guy goes off. Okay? Or another person, everyone at his own level. So just know that's why the Bible says somewhere that let anyone who stands beware lest he falls. In other words, just know that the devil can. So you say, does that line? So before you believe anything whatsoever, ask yourself, does it line up with the truth of the word of God 100%? Does it 100% line up with the truth of the word of God? Does it line up with the New Testament doctrine about yourself? Because here, elsewhere in Colossians, he says, that talks about Christ, Colossians chapter 2, that thing we're talking about. In him we are circumcised with the flesh, our trespasses were forgiven. So you have been forgiven, there is no condemnation for you. Then he said, he has made you, and you who were dead in your trespasses, verse 13, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with Christ, having forgiven you all your trespasses, even those you are going to commit tomorrow. Having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. Requirements. You know what requirements are? If you've taken children to school, you know requirements. To bring your children, you need this, you need a set, you need this, you need a ream of paper, you need that. Those are requirements. Now, the requirements to be blessed were all wiped away and nailed to the cross. So, Jesus wiped away all requirements. So if somebody tells you 7 steps to get your healing, you say, no, my healing was already gotten by 1 step, the stripes of Jesus. 7 steps to be blessed, no, my blessing was already procured by the death of Jesus. 7 steps, no, there are no steps, there are no requirements, there is only one requirement: believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the only requirement. Every other requirement was nailed on the cross, according to the Bible here in Colossians. And every other what? Do not touch, do not do this, do not test, do not eat this, do not Sabbath, what? All that, according to Colossians chapter 2, are all out of the way. What is in the way is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if you believe any of those things, it will take away from the relationship with Jesus Christ. So, that's how the devil is going to deceive people in this world, in these end times. And then the devil, and he will come in a subtle way. For instance, somebody comes and says, I saw a vision, I went to hell, then I realized that all the cosmetics and all the perfumes and all the makeup and all the hair, all of them are being manufactured in hell. So children of God should not put on cosmetics and makeup and what. And the devil is deceiving you, because it does not come directly, it comes in a subtle way. So then Christian girls are going to go and look fake, because they are not beautifying themselves. And then other girls who are not Christian say, but me, I go and become born again and have that afro. So she stays in the world and goes to hell, because the devil deceived people that, who told you cosmetics are made in hell? They are not. Even if they were, you put them on, God, Jesus is in your heart. how do people even believe those things? You look good if you put on, if the hair is off, or put it on, if it makes you look good, that is wonderful. The children of God have to look good. If you apparels, you know, all those things, all those beautiful things, you adorn them, look good. Don't let the devil try to put you down with his lies that those ones are made from hell. Rich people are Illuminati, successful people are Illuminati, broke people are born again. And that's the changing the software slowly by slowly. So I thank you so much for listening to the Watchman. I believe you're going to be more alert to the lies in this end time. And remember, they will not come direct. They come as almost an exposure. We are exposing Illuminati, but behind the exposure is a lie. So they say we are exposing Illuminati, but what they are doing is trying to attach everything successful to the devil. And attract everything a failure to God. And it comes out as if they are exposing, but they are not. They are actually deceiving. So be careful about those things. Make sure that you do not believe any of those lies. And now that you've been otherwise warned by the Watchman, and this is my work, make sure that you know better. Now, if you want to sow into this ministry and make all this possible, including our upcountry, and I encourage you to do that, because that is very, very good ground, I'm telling you, because the Lord told us, and it's very good ground. So I'm encouraging you to sow into upcountry things. The numbers, I've told them to you. I'm going to tell them to you again. They are 0755-292-555, 0755-292-555, or 0780-292-555. Those are the numbers where you should sow your seed if you want to be a partaker of what is happening here. And don't forget our Facebook page, facebook.com/Ugandan Watchman. Don't forget we have overnights on Friday, and you're invited, all of you, to come. They're at Uma Showgrounds in Lugogo in Madivani Hall. And we are learning so many things from there. Make it a point to come there. And let's enjoy praying together and learning how to pray in a way that creates change in your life therein. So thank you so much. God bless you.
We trust you are learning how the Bible prophecy puzzle comes alive and fits perfectly into contemporary news and events. Make a Dent with the Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6.